Welcome back to Moms in Baseball. This is Stephanie and it's episode 96.
And I'm Diana. So today, Stephanie and I are discussing our opinions about travel baseball and whether the travel baseball arena is oversaturated with baseball organizations. And we're just going to kind of discuss if there are too many teams, like, does it matter? And what does that mean? So just to give an idea of how we came up with this topic, Trevor and I were talking about how we had just noticed so many Facebook searches, like not just in August, September, October, when you expect it, but in January and even through this past week in February, of how many teams there are, you know, local teams still looking for players. And a lot of teams have even, you know, already started playing. And it just seems, yes, we've all been talking for a long time about how every year there's more and more teams. And everybody's been saying, you know, travel baseball is watered down now. And, you know, we've all heard that. But I've just noticed, or maybe it's just this year we're paying attention, that so many teams are still looking for players, you know, January and February. You know, have we finally reached the point where we have way too many teams? And, you know, what does that mean? What's going to happen? So I just thought it'd be fun. I haven't even looked in the last couple of days, but I thought I'd pull up Michigan Travel Baseball. That's just a Facebook group. It's got 11,000 members. I thought I'd look and see, you know, are there any posts in the last day or two?
Oh, yes.
The very first post from an hour ago, we're looking for a 15U team in Michigan. There's already a couple of comments. Let's see, Dust Devils Baseball Club is still looking. Motor City Hit Dogs West Side is still looking. Here's a 17-year-old player still looking for a team. Precision Patriots OC 10U is looking for two players to round out a group of players. Are any 16U players still looking for a team? So these were literally the last like four or five posts just scrolling down. So I don't know, Stephanie, you and I haven't even talked a whole lot about this. Have you noticed this a little bit on your end as well?
I think we did, and we did discuss it a little bit. I mean, we noticed that there was a new team that kind of came about. I'm not going to mention the name because I can't even really remember it right now. But then only some age groups were solid, and then other age groups that were kind of promised were dissolved.
Yes.
They couldn't find enough players. And so then they were like, sorry, so sorry. And so, like, for our time, at least in the Midwest, like, our tryouts and stuff like that is usually, you know, August and then pushing it really September, because those people already have their teams. And so for you to commit to a team and then all of a sudden come October and you're like, oh crap, I need to now find a new team. Like, it is shocking that teams are still popping up. New teams, I should say,
yes,
are still popping up, because I feel we are very saturated, at least in Michigan.
Yeah. And I guess if we are in Michigan, I feel like things come here, hit us later than they do,
yeah,
you know, the coast, and they slowly work their way. They slowly work their way into where we are. So I feel like if it is here, it probably is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, you know, you and I are still, we're still relatively new compared to, you know, uh-huh, other people with older children. And I feel like even since we came into the travel baseball world, for me, that would have been 2015, 2016, probably about the same for you, right?
I think we were a year after.
Yeah, so it's 2017.
Yeah, we started the year
but
after.
But, like,
yep,
in our area, so we live in different places. Obviously, we live an hour apart. But, like, where I live, there may have been more teams that I just, you know, didn't know about. It's very, very possible. But I was aware of three organizations. And they were large organizations that had teams at a bunch of different age levels. But I knew of, like, basically three organizations that were within, say, 45, 50-minute driving that we would actually consider driving to that we could have, you know, our kids try out for. And now I'm in that Tri-City area. I mean, I don't even know, because every day I'm
at
like,
least,
this team's from Bay City. How do I not know this team? Where did they come from? When did they start?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and we have to remember, too, like, some, I know they're called travel or what's the other, select.
Travel,
some people,
select, club.
Yeah, yeah, those are their clubs, any of those. But some teams really are kind of like your glorified little league. So, like, sometimes, like, after Little League, they want the kids to keep playing, but they don't have, like, a junior seniors or a pony league or anything like that. So then they keep that team going, but it is very, very, very local, because mm-hmm, I know there's one that's around this area, and I was like, what? And they're like, no, we've been a team for a long time. We just wanted to keep the kids together, but we just play very, very local. And I was like, oh, okay. So, like, yeah, teams like that, which it kind of makes sense. But, yes, even to your point, there is probably, I could name off my, you know, top of my head, at least 10 teams, mm-hmm. which is very surprising.
Yeah.
Because you're like, we're a small area. We don't have that much talent.
Well, and we're not in a very populated area. We're pretty rural. Mm-hmm. And I know that when we came around to travel baseball, I remember people talking then. I was brand new to it, but I remember people saying like, oh, wow, there's so many teams now. You know, it used to just be, you know, the best of the best. And they didn't usually start at 8U. You know, they were maybe yep. middle school or even high school age players where, you know, in our area, we've talked about them. If you were one of the best of the best, you went and played for Means Stamping out of Saginaw or Saginaw Means. And that, you know, that, but that was like the one team and they competed right. with other teams from around the state and around the Midwest, I believe. But, yeah, it's just seems like it's growing almost exponentially. So at some point in time, we're going to have too many teams, right? So,
you would think, but who knows? I don't know.
And it seems like the organizations that you hear about that have been around for a longer time, you know, that have been around 10 plus years, they all started almost like as accidentally. Like they uh-huh. heard about a tournament that was at Disney World or was in Las Vegas or some sort of like travel tournament where they thought, oh, wouldn't that be so fun to get a bunch of really good kids together and go on vacation, you know, and raise some money and then go play in this big tournament. And then they had so much fun. They thought, well, let's, you know, when these kids are good, let's try to find a way to keep doing this. So they almost started accidentally.
Yep.
And, you know, and now I think for the most part, because we already have so many large organizations and national organizations around that, it seems like usually if a new team's popping up, it's for either somebody's kid didn't make the team that the parent wanted them to make, or they were unhappy, you know, for a multitude of reasons. You could be unhappy, but for whatever reason. And I want to say, speaking of, before we started recording, Stephanie, we were talking about our dad's takeover episodes and how we're due to do one of those. I yes. want to say one of our first dad's takeover, they talked about like five different types or categories of travel teams. And one of them had something to do with, gosh, this was like 2 years ago, but it had something to do with, like my child's the shortstop or my child should be the shortstop type of team. And so you do see a lot of those like dads or moms, but usually dads taking their kid to start a new team so that they can be, you know, the number three hitter and the shortstop or the starting pitcher or whatever the heck it is that they need to be. And, or, you know, we just always think the grass is greener on the other side, or I can do better. I can do it better.
Yes. Absolutely. Or sometimes it's like a shiny new toy too. You know what I mean? Like this new team popped up and they're saying, ooh, you know what I mean? So you're like, yeah, new team. And so they drop their old team and it's just, you're like, what are you thinking?
And because competition is so fierce for those like top players, because there's so many teams for them to choose from. I mean, they must be promised all kinds of things.
Things
to come to their team, whether it's they're going to follow through on it or not.
True story.
So, I mean, there are some benefits to having a ton of teams out there to choose from. So I thought we should at least go over that quickly because we're mostly talking about it from like a negative standpoint. And when we're not all negative. And, you know, there are some very obvious benefits. And one is, I mean, pretty much any kid out there who wants to play travel baseball, regardless of the skill level, I don't want to say regardless of the budget, but almost regardless of the budget, if you have at least a little bit to spend, there's going to be a team out there. There's going to be some sort of travel team out there. And if they want to play more games than they would normally play with Little League or American Legion or Rec or whatever it is, you know, this is an opportunity for any kid who loves baseball to go get more baseball. One way or another, you're probably going to be able to find a team.
But like we said earlier, like if you want to just do local, you can do little, you know, local. Baseball is fun. That's why our kids kind of got into it. I mean, obviously we start them in travel ball because we see this talent, but they had that love for it and they loved playing. And so if you want to keep that going and that love, you're like, yeah, let's add in more games. Okay, we can travel 30 minutes. Okay, we can travel an hour. We can do this. And so if that's what your kid wants, you're going to want to do it for them. And so that is kind of nice thing about it is they can go at every skill level. If you want the more competitive, you can do that. If you want the less competitive because you love it, then do that too. So that is the nice part.
Absolutely. And I kind of love the local sort of like that St. Clair team that we talked to a few episodes back. I love the idea of that. I can say, like, for us, because my kids have so much fun with their like little local rec all-star teams, I could see them, you know, in another world choosing to do just that and not play travel baseball if they could play more baseball. And what I mean is that a lot of families from our area, we have a hard time even putting an all-star team together at certain levels because families don't want to give up July to play baseball. You know, they want to go to their cabin. They want to go on vacation. Like all these normal things that other humans do that I don't remember because it's been so long. But like,
what? Your vacation isn't a baseball tournament? What?
I get it. There's more to life than traveling for baseball. But my kids wanted to play tons of baseball. And, you know, we would have a hard time getting kids from our area to get together more than maybe two, at most three weekends over the summer. That's what families have to give. So travel baseball is what makes sense for us. But if you have a group of, you know, like-minded individuals from your area, like those, there should be a bunch of teams like that. That's great. They're getting more reps. Yeah. They're playing with the kids they're going to play in high school with. All of that. Kids who want to go, to your point, crazy and travel all over and play the best of the best and get seen by, you know, potential college coaches all over, whatever, I guess, when they're older. They're going to find a team for that if they have, you know, the ability or whatever. So lots of teams does mean a lot more opportunities for kids.
Absolutely.
Something else, I guess, that would go along with that is if there's a lot of competition for the kids to be on these teams, you're probably not having a bunch of large, like really large rosters because parents are paying money for these teams. And then you start having ideas of like, well, if I'm paying for this, I want to make sure that we're getting something out of it. And what a lot of people want to make sure they're getting out of it is a lot of playing time for their kids, right? Like on your high school team, you might have 25 players and your kid might not ever, ever play. But on a travel team, more than likely, unless they're on some sort of special situation where there is a roster of 20 or whatever, they're probably going to play quite a bit. Because that's how most parents are going to feel. If, you know, if I'm paying for this, I'd like them to play several innings a weekend at least.
Yeah, get more reps in. Yep, absolutely.
I mean, do you have any other benefits that you can think of with having so many watered down teams out there?
You do. I think we have on here too, like late bloomers. I think we didn't really mention that. So like if your kid is just not growing and is kind of the smaller kid, but loves it and is totally going at it and wants to be that player and just hasn't quite fully developed yet, because they will later on, that's a great thing. Like have him go to a less competitive team where he can get more reps. And then once he kind of grows and he goes into maturity, he can go from there.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. They're going to find the right team if they're a late bloomer, you know, before that and afterwards. So that's definitely another upside. So some downsides. We mentioned your kid's going to find a team like at the right appropriate skill level for him or her. A lot of times you're going to end up in tournaments with a huge discrepancy in the skill level of those teams that have entered.
Yes.
So your team might go just absolutely beat up on one team that they probably have no business, you know, playing against. And then you might go get beat up on a team that you have no business playing against. You know, none of us expect our kids to go win every game or anything. And if you are winning every game, then your coach just has your team in the wrong tournaments. You know, you need to step it up. But you at least want to be with some quality players every game. That's what parents expect to get. I think that's what players expect to get when you pay for your kid to play travel baseball, that these are going to be competitive games.
Absolutely.
And that often doesn't happen.
No.
We talked about how they're going to find the right team because there's going to be a team out there that wants your kid. Well, part of that means kids are benefiting. How should I say this? They may get rewarded like for a lack of loyalty.
Yes.
There's no better way for me to say that I can think of. But they're unhappy because they're not playing as much as they think they should, or they think coaches being a little bit hard on them, or whatever the reason. Obviously, there are so many valid reasons to leave a team, and I don't think you should ever just stay with your team just to stay with them. But there is something to say for, you know, finding the right team for you and sticking it out through the highs and through the lows, and not hopping to, you know, the newer grass is greener, quote unquote, better team every single year. But that's very easy to do when there are so many teams and there are so many coaches, and maybe it's still May and they're giving you their card and telling you to come on over, you know, to their organization because everyone's looking for players because there's too many teams.
Right, absolutely. And I've told this to Keegan before too. I was like, you may not get along with every single coach you have, kind of like teachers, but you do have to deal with them and you have to learn how to get along with them and how to have them help you so that you can become better and then you can grow from there and move on from there. But like, yeah, if you're on the team and that's what your commitment was, you need to stay with that team at least for a little while and then work through it because there's difficult people in the world all over.
Right.
But yeah, we need to learn how to deal with everybody and how to get along.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're going to have tough bosses. You're going to have tough customers or coworkers or just people that you're going to need to learn how to get along with for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, this is probably the number one downfall of travel ball getting so big and having so many teams is that it sort of like directly correlates with the decline of Little League and rec baseball because more and more kids are leaving to go to that, which means that the kids that aren't at the ability level to play travel ball or the families can't afford it, that's a huge one, or
yes,
don't have the schedules to make it a possibility for them, they are leaving baseball because rec ball is becoming less and less of a viable option in a lot of communities. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in my opinion, that's the biggest downside.
Absolutely.
Stephanie, you just talked about late bloomers. Part of this is maybe you have a kid who's a late bloomer. So when all the other kids are like more coordinated and maybe they're leaving for travel ball, they're still hanging out in rec ball. But it's boring. There's not much competition, whatever it is. So they leave, they quit, they think baseball's boring. And then a couple of years later, they kind of grow into their body and figure out coordination and everything. And now they could be a phenomenal ball player, but we wouldn't know because we lost that chance with them because of the lack of the viable rec league.
Right. And I will say too, on the whole rec ball thing, I mean, when we did Little League, our coach was very into it, but so they had practice every day. But typically with rec ball or Little League, you don't practice as much. Because it's not as competitive. It's more of like a neighborhood thing. You're having fun. You're with your kids and everything like that. And the kids you go to school with. And so it is less competitive. And so when you go to travel ball, you get a ton more reps. And so you are a little bit more fine-tuned. And so when you go back to rec ball or Little League or whatever, you don't feel it is as competitive. And so, like you said, they sometimes think it is a little bit boring. And so hence why they just don't want to do it or they kind of talk down to it. And so they end up leaving it that way. But let me tell you, there are some amazing teams in Little League and rec ball too. So do not count that out. Do not.
Okay, so we talked about how a lot of, you know, unhappy dads are leaving to go start their own team. So part of that is if we have 10, say, organizations in our small little area, and then each of those organizations has a bunch of teams at every different level in baseball and softball, how many of the kids are actually getting coached by, like, qualified coaches who are good mentors, good humans, knowledgeable, all of the things. Like there are so many of those individuals out there, and the more and more teams you have, the more kids you could argue are being coached by inferior coaches. But along with that, if rec ball and Little League is declining, then, you know, I guess you could say those volunteer coaches are leaving and going to travel ball. So I don't know how much of an argument that really is. I'm not sure.
True. I mean, yeah, I guess it could go either way. Plus, I think sometimes good coaches get burned out just as much as a kid does. You know what I mean? Like you're going nonstop and sometimes these tournaments get heated and then, you know, fighting with umpires or the other teams and parents, that good coaches just are like, okay, I think it's time to just take a pause and not be the coach anymore. And so, I mean, we could be, yeah, losing those good coaches all around. So travel sports is not for the faint of heart. And sometimes you have to have thick skin sometimes when you're watching, because sometimes players are not nice to your kids. But you would think adults would know not to call other people names or anything like that. But let's just say It takes a good coach to just walk away.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. And along with that lack of good coaches, the other issue could be the lack of umps, right? Because you have all these teams, but all these teams are going out and playing games and playing tournaments. And we all know there's a giant umpire shortage and referee shortage, and that's already a terrible, horrible job because of how coaches and parents treat them across the board. So, yeah, that could just be making it more and more difficult to get quality umpires. And I see this as a common complaint with just travel ball in general growing, that some of the like larger, especially national organizations that have a bunch of teams at every level, people will complain that they just keep throwing teams together so that their, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth team, basically the parents are paying crazy amounts of money for these kids to go play, to have this, to have the organization name on their jersey that they want everybody to see. And they're basically funding the organization so that the top national teams or their A team or whatever you want to call it is able to compete.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can talk a lot about, too, how a lot of this is just, it keeps growing because we're constantly trying to, like, one-up each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have the whole fear of missing out, and now my kid's behind, so now I need to figure out a way that my kid can go play, you know, a bunch of extra tournaments. And then when you find out your competitor is, for example, going down to Orange Beach for spring break, now we have to go do something even more intense for our spring break to get in shape. And well, now our organization's going to go year round, and we're not going to allow kids to play other sports because we need to make sure we're getting more reps than everybody else. And it's just this constant cycle of everybody, I feel one-upping each other, right?
Absolutely. Well, and you kind of brought it up too, like the grass is always greener on the other side. Like not always, you know, not always. Sometimes it can appear that way, or sometimes it is more beneficial for you, but the grass is not always greener on the other side. And then the other thing too is, I was going to bring it up, like it's almost like the chicken or the egg, which one was first? Social media, which we've talked about with teenagers, it plays a big role, but I think it plays a big role with adults too. You're on your phone, you see, oh shoot, look at that big tournament. Oh my gosh, they're at one of the MLB team fields. Like, we got to do that tournament. Let's get a team together because I know our team won't do it. So let's do a separate team. Now you're starting to like that separate team, and then you kind of build your own and go from there. Like, definitely, I think social media is getting more in your face so that you're more aware of it, so that you know this stuff. Otherwise, you're just talking with your neighbor or you see somebody somewhere and then you just talk about it that way. But now it's like a very immediate reaction and you're like, yes, let's do it.
Right. No, you're right. I think social media does play a huge part of in the whole like fear of missing out or keeping up.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And then the most obvious reason why there's so many teams. Well, yeah, there's some nonprofit teams out there that are just doing this so that kids can play baseball. But there's also a lot of organizations out there that are doing this to make money. And I don't think that that's inherently evil or anything like that. But it's just something that you need to keep in mind as a parent, that if they're making profit off of your child, that's they may not always have the same interest for your child that you do. Right.
True.
So I guess this was something that I thought was interesting. I don't know how I feel about it. Speaking of social media, when people are discussing this issue, one of the things that I've seen pop up that people think would solve it, the watered down teams or how many teams we have, or how everybody's trying to one-up each other with tryouts and push tryouts earlier and earlier and earlier in the season. People have said, why isn't there a governing body for travel baseball like we have for hockey and wrestling? Now, I'm not... My kids don't play club hockey or they don't wrestle. So I'm not familiar with how that works. But I mean, I think in theory that sounds great but to me, like Little League is a governing body. The American Legion is a governing body. Perfect Game, PBR, USSSA. Like, I feel like these are all, but they all compete against one another. So there's not just like one head. And I guess what I'm saying is I don't see how that would work. I don't see how we would all just decide to subscribe to this one organization, because then I feel like other organizations would pop up as an alternative, and that's what happens in like an open market. So I don't know. It's an interesting thought. Like, yeah, that'd be great in a way, but I don't see that as being reality.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not familiar with it either, so I wonder how they do it or what prevents another organization from popping up, you're right, and be
Yeah.
a competing factor. I don't know.
Yeah. So I feel like the most viable solution in my mind, and it's something that Stephanie and I constantly preach about, is if at all possible, make sure your kid plays Little League and rec too. Because we talked about how, for us at least, we see one of the largest downsides being the decline of the local programs. Well, be part of the solution and make sure your kids play with the local program. Find a travel team or a club team that accommodates that schedule-wise so that you can do both. But this is all assuming you're not burning your kid out, because that's the number one thing we're doing, right? Is we're trying to keep it fun for the kids. That's the whole point, especially for the younger kids. It needs to be fun. So no, I don't think you should burn them out. So again, make sure that travel team or club team accommodates it in terms of maybe plays fewer games than a lot of the other organizations may play, so that they're not playing 100 games a year, you know? The other thing just to keep in mind is make sure you're finding the right organization and the right fit for your kid. And if you want some tips for that, we have a couple episodes that might help out. We have episode 14, which was, I believe, our first possible Dad's Takeover, which was
It
how to choose
may
a
have been.
first or second anyway, and was how to choose a travel team. And then episode 61 that Stephanie and I did was titled "Should I Stay or Should I Go?" And that was basically kind of discussing, should you stay with your current club organization, or should you consider going somewhere else, and what are some things to look at when you do that. And then finally, I just found this today. I wish I would have found it sooner. Walter Beatty is somebody that I've actually followed on Twitter for a bit, but he's written a couple of books. One of them's called The Shift, and I just bought the audiobook today. And I'm only about halfway through, but so his book is called The Shift, and then it says The Business of Baseball at the Youth, High School, and Professional Level. And he talks about, like, literally what we're talking about, like the shift of how things used to be, like when he was a kid and he was playing American Legion ball, and how he went about getting recruited and then eventually drafted, versus how things looked when he was a college coach and went through this process recruiting kids himself and having his kids play travel ball. And he even talks about
Oh.
how they played for the Canes, but at the time they were called the Virginia Canes because it was early in the process. And he learns about the East Cobb organization and how Perfect Game was really helpful for him as a recruiter and having all the kids in one spot. So I would definitely recommend checking out that book.
So on deck, we will be talking with a sports dietitian about nutrition needs for our young athletes. That will be a very good one. You guys are going to want to listen to, as well as talking about our fluid needs and probably sleep as well, which sometimes even adults forget to do.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, you can keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram at Moms and Baseball. You can also listen to our episodes on our Moms and Baseball Facebook page. Feel free to join our Facebook group, Parents and Baseball. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to hit the subscribe button and share with your friends. We would love to hear from you as well. Until then, have fun at the fields.
We'll see you next time. I was thinking, oh, we haven't had a dad's takeover in a real long time.
That's right. Diana says we should do a dad's takeover.
About what?
He said about what? He would be in for it. He hasn't talked
Whatever
with
you
Trevor in
want
a
to
while.
talk
Whatever you and
about.
Trevor want to talk about.
Whatever we want.
Well, not whatever. It has to be baseball related.
Ugh.
You'll be fine.